Maloni, Talohani, Talofalava, Malole Soifu, Malelangi Mama, Kiorana, Maloelelei, Fakalofa Lahiatu, Talofa, Kokumele Mele Puka, Mel, Mai Teama, and Momo Lava Piki, Petitato Tamana, Italangi, Motana Tauhinga, Manahaka Manuyanga, Mogitato Uma. Mateola Matemalo, Kumawe Gitato, Okatino in Tato Tamahina Bene. Yeah. Once again, warm Pacific greetings to all our listeners. You are tuned in and listening to Te Ama Radio on Planet FM 104.6 or live streaming online at www.planetaudio.org.nz. Or if you missed the broadcast, listen for the next 7 days at www.planetaudio.org.nz/Te Ama Pacifica Health. Better yet, you can download our weekly shows on the Planet FM website. Te Ama are proud to partner up with Waitemata District Health Board and East Tamaki Healthcare to promote health and welfare amongst our Pacific population in Aotearoa, New Zealand, so that we may have the tools and knowledge to make better lifestyle choices. Our sponsors, Waitemata District Health Board, is the largest New Zealand DHB in New Zealand, which protects, improves and promotes the health of our people and communities. And our other sponsor, East Tamaki Healthcare, is one of the largest primary healthcare providers in the country, and East Tamaki Healthcare have been serving South Auckland communities for 40 years. Mālo ni mahanga he tai lahi lele ki te Waitemata District Health Board. Ia, ma East Tamaki Healthcare, mo te ngā lue mālohi mo te tautō mō tātou kāinga pahe huka. On Te Ama Radio, we promote health and well-being and raise awareness about the community services available throughout our communities. Te Ama are proud to promote health and welfare for Pacifica families right here in New Zealand. At Te Ama, we actively encourage and invite guests who are working in public health or making a difference in their communities, whether it be in education, employment, sports, religion, social justice and so forth. This radio show is for our Pacifica people and for those who are serving our Pacifica population to improve health and welfare outcomes. We have been blessed to have had some amazing and passionate guests share about themselves, their passions and work, and also the difference they are making to promote and enhance the quality of services for our Pacific people and their families right here in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Welcome back. Talo falava malo elele, ki ora na ni sambula binaka, I ora na talohani, fakalo falahi atu, and tena koto katoa. The Ama Community Radio program is promoting the well-being of Pacific people. Each week, you'll hear interviews with studio guests giving advice on health, education, employment, housing, and other support services that encourage wellness and foster healthy, happy lives for Pacifica people in New Zealand. But before we continue on, well, everybody can see that it's a bit of, not a bit actually, it's quite windy. We just got off the motorway and I can look at the window and see the trees. The branches are actually waving at me, but never mind. God is good. And before we continue, as our protocol, we must always invite God in everything that we do. We give him the honor and the glory. So we're going to start our program with a word of prayer. Fatalo fatu le mamalu malpaia, le fafonga ile ne tula. Ai momuan tato si fata silipi ingale tua la amatata to poklame ile tatalo. Let us pray.
Okay, I'm just gonna let the prayers in Samo, excuse my language. Fafdaile lo famalanga leo le tua on fai on manto fantasi mai ne tula tayau. Of the foy on fire, fat no winner in Napo Calame or no leo for Malang and Leo le tour. Yep, Tano for Elo Fio, Fantasy Maide, Poclame, and Neas, Mo say, for you say, so so any more, Mamalo Tato at Nook, Fantasy Pemoilanto, or Wallace with four Mano Loin, a pair for ill tossing or iron, if a pair for ill Tato at Nook, Yama Ekanesia, Fantasy Mano Fio Yante Mato, so near in Napo Calame. Fai wina man manuia, no la wishwa for Yesu. Amen.
Shine in God's own. Kalo Falava Fano, kia ora and welcome. Warm Pacific greetings to you all. Now, today I will be your producer or your technician. Coming through, my name is Sunnyanne Felicia Sonia Hunkin Matafil, or also known as Princess Anne. The first, I would like to introduce our host, Sha Moses Tali Matafil, an 18-year-old who studied at Papakura High School, recently graduated last year, not only at the top of his class, but now current Papakura High School overall Ducks, also in the Pacifica Ducks, completely successful in everything that he does, coming through as a young Pacific Southside Islander. His aims in life are to not only meet but also exceed expectations in everything that he does. So we'd like to welcome you, Sha. It is his first time on air today as your host for Te Ama, coming through to celebrate Pacifica and our success within our young generation. So without further ado, Sha, please take it away.
Thanks for that introduction, Anne. Just kia ora and talofa to everyone else out there. The day outside isn't the best of days, but hey, a day above ground is a good day, right? Thanks to the Lord Heavenly Father in heaven. Thank you, Paul, Nicole, for joining us in studio today. And just got to shake the nerves off a little bit, and then we'll get the ball rolling straight away. But this morning we have the pleasure of having Paul Yupo Tangarosala join us. Yep. Also known as Paul Sale, Samoan born. He moved to New Zealand in 2003. And moving to New Zealand really opened his eyes to the fact that there are so many people struggling to live a fit and healthy lifestyle. So, Paul, just from the, I guess, from your childhood, could you sort of just give us a quick brief, I don't know, I guess a quick brief sum of how you found life in Samoa before you came to New Zealand in 2003?
Yeah, and I'd just like to say thank you for the opportunity to get us, you know, here. I know it's the first time, but, you know, we're excited and also nervous as well at the same time. You know, thank you to my wife to, you know, to be here with me. But, yeah, just go back to the question about, you know, my lifestyle over there before I moved here. You know, grew up on an island without a dad as one of the biggest challenges for me. And, you know, my dad passed away March 1980. I was born in October 17. So he passed away when I was, my mum was still pregnant, 3 months. So for my whole life, I grew up without a dad. And I found that was my biggest challenge, and you know, it's the reason why. So my grandparents brought me up. So this, my mom had 15. So there's four of us, you know, same dad. I have to say, and that's probably one of my the reason why I'm like this is, you know, I don't want any kids out there to go through the same thing that I've been through. So in 1995, we had the biggest celebration in our village, which was a new church, opening of the new church, New Chapel. And I was seeing people coming from overseas, Australia, New Zealand, into the village, and I've seen them, you know, with new cars, very new clothes, new shoes. And I was sort of like thinking, there is a better lifestyle over there. You know, I wonder what those people, you know, obviously they've got a lot of money and stuff like that. So I was thinking, I really want to go, you know, to see in New Zealand or Australia. Obviously there's a milk and a honey over there. So, you know, I thought to come over here and live a better lifestyle. So that's what it is. So that's why I really want to come in New Zealand. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great answer, Paul. I'm going to go a little bit off script at the moment with this, and I'm just hearing that small sort of brief, I guess, some of your childhood growing up and coming through, especially with having only a mum, yeah, without having a father figure to sort of have in your life, and the types of challenges. If I asked myself that question, if my dad wasn't here, I'm almost 100% sure I wouldn't turn out to be the same,
yeah,
I guess, young man that I am. And thanks for sharing that with us, Paul. But if you were to have a piece of advice for any young Pacific Island, well, regardless of race or ethnicity, that's sort of in the same position that you were in right now, that has only one parent, one figure to look up to, whether it's only a mother or a father, what would be your most important piece of advice that you'd have for them to get through and to strive to not feel disadvantaged?
Oh, that's pretty good question. I have to say one advice that I will probably say is just really looking into yourself, you know, what do you want, you know, in life? And then just follow it through, I have to say. And I have to say, relying on other people, I have to say, it's not going to take you anywhere. And so you have to rely and look into yourself and what can you do and what you really want. And it's the main thing for me. And that's what's, you know, taking me where I am, you know. It's because I wish I had my dad, you know, and to my life. But then I realized that he's not going to do anything. You know, he's already gone. So to make him proud, I really have to look into myself and do what I have to do to move forward.
All right. Okay, so it's finding your inner drive, your passion, and what you really love to do.
That's right.
That drags you through, that pulls you through. I was just pointing to the bottom of the script that I have determination, motivation, and dedication. There are only three things that you need to succeed. And could you just break it down a little bit for us? Like, in your situation, the determination, I've got the determination and the motivation, but the dedication part, when you came to New Zealand, where did you start the building blocks for you, the stepping stones to where you've got to today, being an Auckland boot camp trainer and a qualified personal trainer to date?
Oh, dear. I have to say, you know, I arrived, you know, you mentioned it before, I moved here 2003. It wasn't an easy move. You know, and I see this thing, you know, what I was holding it back for quite a long time is, you know, just let everybody know that, you know, I was also overstayed here for nearly 5 years. Okay, so, you know, I've been through a lot. And I have to say, to share my thoughts. And I have to say, one of the biggest thing in our culture is people too shy to share and too embarrassed to share what they've been through. And I have to say, nearly 5 years, I was overstayed. There's a lot of money, you know, it costs us a lot of money. And I have to say, I worked for the whole time that was here. My first job was collecting the plastic bin on the road, you know, all the recycled stuff running on the road. I don't know if you guys remember those blue little bins.
Yeah.
Yep. Rain or shine, I still work. I still have to get up at 6 o'clock some of the time that I finish work, about 6 p.m., and I still have to do the training to play rugby at the time. So I think that really opened my mind, and I was thinking, you know what, you know, that's not matter. You know, what's going to throw to me, I can do it. I can still do it. You know, sort of determination to achieve what I want to achieve, I think it was all from, you know, by fighting to stay here in New Zealand and also looking for a job that's not going to call, you know, the government is not going to call me that I'm working, you know, and be able to deport it back in the island was the biggest challenge for my life. So... Mm-hmm. You know, determination, and that's where it is. Yeah.
straight off the back of that, Paul, hearing of you being here, it was to get here was a mission on its own.
Yep.
But to stay here and to live, to work through it all took a whole lot of dedication. All three of those components sort of came together and it built up that a fire or a drive in you to stay. And I think something that's really important for, especially for us, the younger generation that that have come through from some or from all islands,
yep.
And then now that I'm finding that I saw was, is that the kids, they don't appreciate the same opportunities that they have to date now. And I, hearing from what you've said and what you about your life and how it comes through, it really does open up even my eyes to see exactly how fortunate I am that, yes, we are in the land of milk and honey,
yeah.
But that milk and honey doesn't come for free.
No.
It comes at a price.
Yeah.
And that I also love the fact that you're a personal trainer, a qualified personal trainer. Tell me a little bit about that. How did you get into the profession?
So, you know, I was working in a warehouse. You know, I don't know if you guys know the pumpkin batch.
Oh,
you know, I was working in a warehouse. 8 years in the warehouse, you know, from picking to dispatch, which done a bit of a, you know, working on computer and all that. And then I sort of had enough. I sort of stand still and I was thinking, I asked my wife, you know, I don't want to do warehouse anymore. Mm-hmm. And then my wife asked me, you know, what do you really want to do, you know, with your life? And then I say, I really love sports, you know, but it's coming to the end of my rugby career. So what do you want to do if you stop playing rugby? And then sort of open our eyes, and me, especially me, and I say, well, I really want to get fit. And then at the time, we were both very unhealthy at the time that we, you know, when I stopped playing rugby, both of us put on weight. Nicole's getting into the habits of eating the salmon food and stuff. And it was terrible looking at the old photos and stuff. So that's where it got me started. So Nicole looked online. We find a course online, which is study online. I was still working full-time, so after work and get into to do the course. So was supposed to be 1 year. Went into the 1 year. I was sort of thinking, I said to Nicole, maybe I need to, I don't know if I can do this thing. Then I sort of go back and remind myself why I want to do well, and then start again. So it took us 2 years to study online, and then straight after the course, and then start the boot camp. And starting off the boot camp wasn't an easy decision. Know that, you know, our culture, you know, what we're being advised back then is go to work, find a good job, earn money and save, you know, which is the biggest thing that we always, you know, our parents and grandparents always advise us. But I was sick of working for somebody else at the time as well. So I didn't want to do that. So we just want to, you know, get it going. So we started boot camps at the field, you know, with one or two clients. That was it. That's where it all started in 2015.
And it's grown since then, and since
2015 we had, you know, started off was only my wife's mum and her friend and our sister-in-law. That was our three clients that we had. We also had two teachers that personal training at their home. I have to go on their home and do the training for them. I think it was 6 weeks that I've done for them. And then so from 2015 to last year, September, we went up to 80 clients.
Absolutely amazing.
I can't sum it up. Oh, gosh, and you followed your passion. You guys have both. Together, you guys have just gone out there and really... I guess really glad that, and like unsatisfied with a job. Like, no one wants to wake up to a 9-to-5 job. that's to a 9-to-5 job that I guess is not fulfilling, that doesn't follow your passion.
Absolutely amazing. I think everyone at the moment is just pretty much speechless for your beautiful story. Now, whānau, all of our beautiful listeners who are listening at the moment, you have been listening to Te Ama Community Radio Station. Now, we're going to have our first break, just so everyone can gather their thoughts and get back on track, because it's getting quite emotional at this time. But you have been listening to Paul and Sha, and we will be back with you shortly. Kia ora. Lava, kia ora. How are we doing, everyone? This crazy weather day. Now, that was our first break for this evening. Everyone's all good now, yeah? Emotions and everything's sweet, awesome stuff. Now, talking about personal training, our brother, our older brother, is a personal trainer. However, he is a personal trainer, a chef, a company director. He's a bit of a 360, so he hasn't had the time to fully focus on it. So, hearing your story, I'm hoping that it doesn't only encourage everyone else out there to follow their dreams. I hope it encourages all of the younger generation too to jump on board and follow your leadership. So it's just, I'm so blessed to be here and to hear everything that's going on right now. But I think it's time to pass it back to the host to continue on with his beautiful questions. Kia ora, everyone.
Okay, guys, thanks again. Thank you for tuning back in. And Paul, I guess to sum up the first segment that we had, what can I say? Your life is pretty much a testimony of, I guess, if someone stops and tells you, if the world throws lemons at you, you end up making lemonade out of it. You end up just pushing through, perceiving on, and building yourself up. You and your wife together, you guys have really come a long way. And it actually is really inspirational. I want to pick up on a point that we sort of left off with when you got to a point in time when you were working with Pumpkin Patch that you thought, hey, this isn't for me. I'm not moving forward. This is not what I see. I need to do something. And as Pacifica, as someone, like, we have a tendency to be very shy to speak out. Why? Because we think, I suppose it's because it's skin colour that comes into play, our disadvantages with language. What pushed you to get to just stand up and make the first move?
I was sick of being, you know, I always said, like this week I said to my mother-in-law, and I say I had enough of being negative, you know, into my head. And growing up and asked other people, I don't know if anybody out there that's, you know, growing up without a dad, and they, you know, it's a mission to ask, you know, my family to go and visit my dad's family. It was difficult, you know, because my family didn't want me to go and have that connection with my dad's family. So I had enough, you know. I have to stand up and speak, you know. And the other thing is, looking at all the Pacific Island that was working in a warehouse, they all complained in the cafeteria, and none of them, you know, wants to take that one step to ask the boss, and he said, the manager, this is what I want, this is what I don't want, and stuff. None of them. So I'm thinking, this is an opportunity for me to stand up and see what's going to happen if I do. So I end up, you know, asking the manager. I called a meeting with the manager and the supervisor. Do you know what? At the end of the meeting, they say thank you to me. That was the first Pacific Island that works into the warehouse. They actually stand up and say something, because they don't know what's going on into the warehouse, and they don't know what's going on to their head. So they thank you to me. So I, you know, that gave me a confidence that I can actually, you know, this is the way it should be. You know, and at the time I wasn't really speaking English really. You know, I didn't go to English class or anything like that. I was scared as well to speak, but I think living with my wife and her family, that helped me a lot.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And I have to say, one of the biggest thing that why people don't speak up is the confidence of themselves. You know, it does not matter. What my best advice, does not matter where you come from, and does not matter what upbringing, what language you speak, I have to say, just go for it. Who cares? You know, if you're going to say something wrong, it's going to go wrong anyway. And you just have to ask for it. If you don't get it, don't get it. You're not going to get it. You know, and if you get it, then thank God. You know, give it to you. That's what it is.
Thanks for that, Paul. I can relate heavily to a lot of us PIs, too afraid to take a stand, too afraid to stand up, just because of the, I guess, the stereotype and all the rest that's going around. But it's really cool to see, I guess, confidence building and having the right support systems and networks in place have really played a massive part. In terms of building confidence, it ties in really nice, the way that I'm seeing it, is, I guess, as being a personal trainer, would you agree with me that, I guess, healthy body, healthy mind, and it radiates sort of from there? Does it help being a personal trainer now, being in the shape that you are right now, quite solidly built? Does it add with that confidence and the drive, I guess, you have now?
It does. I do agree with, I mean, it does. But, you know, it's something that's, you know, we really have to, like for me personally, like if you want to be a leader, you've got to have to stand, you know, and there's things that I've always, I mean, when I went back to SAR and stuff like that, sorry, I'm going on off the question now. You know, you have to be, you don't have to stand from the top to lead a group. You know, you have to go down the bottom. And for me to lead my group, I have to be in a good shape. Because who's going to come and want to train with me and my wife if my wife is not in good shape? You know, if looking at myself and I say, how can you stand in front of us, teaching us what to do? And, you know, you're not in good shape. You're giving advice out. But in saying that, I went out and do all the, what is it called, a survey. You know, I went out to different gyms and group session and stuff like that, and I was seeing a couple of personal trainers that's very struggle with their health and fitness, but they trying to help other people out. How does that, you know, my question, how does that work? You know, the more that I get fitter and push myself, the more that my confidence to help other people out there. And if I'm not healthy enough, then I won't be able to help our community. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's really cool. So you're leading by example.
Yeah.
You're doing the work and saying, hey guys, I've done it, I can do it, let's do it together, I'm the right guy for the job. Oh gosh. It's really cool. On the script I have here, what does it say here? This is what what has given him his motivation to live a healthy and physically fit lifestyle. He trains hard and take care of what he fed his body. Now Paul is here to help. Oh, well, that part's not there, but it all ties in quite nicely. I guess if you were to have any advice, Paul, for anyone out there, that not just for, I guess, the fitness and sports side, but for any kid, especially the teenagers that are out there nowadays that are chasing a dream or that have aspirations in their head and want to make those dreams a reality or sort of turn their negative situation, just like yourself, into something that's so positive and that flourishes, what would be your main piece of advice that you would give to those that are in that place you were once before you are to get to where you are today?
That's a pretty good question, really. I guess it's fine, you know, it's finding the why, you know, the reason why. Putting an example for me, my why, it's my family was part of my why, you know, my kids, especially growing up without a dad, going back to my story. I don't want my kids to go through what I've been through. I don't want my kids to go through what I've been through. And, you know, so if you can find that why, you know, why do you get up in the morning? Why do you get up in the morning and do stuff? And what do you want your life to be, you know, when you're 20? If you're only 18 or 16 now, what would you like your life to be when you're 20, 21, you know? And as I say, I wish I know what I know now back into what I was 15, 16, you know, or will be, I don't know, completely different. But, you know, as I said, you know, that's the biggest thing for me is to find out why. What is the reason why you get up in the morning and do what you do? What makes you happy?
I couldn't say it any better to you. I'm learning a lot today. I'm taking a lot from that. I guess ease it down a little bit. Paul, would you have any advice for our Manu Samoa, the way they're playing lately?
I guess that was one of my dreams.
Play
for the Manu Samoa. You know, I think when I was growing up over there, I think it was 2000, I was in I was in the last squad of the sevens. Yeah, training squad. I was in there with Simaika. Simaika and myself was the last one to get the last to pick. Who can replace Whaapito? I don't know if you remember that guy, Whaapito Matauiau. He's from Whaistu. Yeah, he was famous. He was really good at what he was doing. But, you know, I didn't end up made it. Mm-hmm. Simaika made it, and he went all the way. And I think he done a very good job doing that. So, I don't know. I've seen what's going on into the system. Mm. And you look around with I think if they sort the system out, you know, we'll be all fine. You know, there's a lot going on in there that needs to sort, you know, before everything else. Yeah,
I think you'd agree with me, Paul, that that us in the islands, we're naturally blessed to have the sort of right physique to go with the game, right? If we just put in a little bit of, cut out a little bit more tire and just maybe change over the rice for a little while.
I think the mindset is the biggest. Because, you know, what I've learned when I was playing for, you know, for a team like Pakuranga, like full of, you know, have a bit of a mix. Like look at Ponsonby and all them. Have a bit of a mix. Pacific Island and European guys. So they have the physique and also have the right mentality. You know, they can make the decision, you know, on the field and off the field is the thing. But, you know, for us, we get some, you know, we focus on, you know, smashing those guys out instead of passing the ball and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
There's more directions than just running straight, right?
Yeah.
All right. I guess
I want to hear more about this. Someone hitting each other. Big chess.
I suppose, Paul, to, I guess, sort of close us in a way, we've got about just under 10 minutes to go. But do you have any words or, I guess, advice or just tips, I guess, for how to live the right healthy lifestyle, the ways to get those stepping stones to start the journey? Because it can be pretty hard. There's been so many times that so many people, especially with the Polynesian community, that starts off, all right, first week is strong, second is all right, then after that it's totally gone.
Yeah.
Finding your why, but well, what would be your small tips and I guess loopholes that you'd find to help out?
I guess everybody's, you know, we have met loads and loads of Pacific Island coming through our boot camps and the program. Everybody's looking for new diet and new exercise, you know, and stuff that they can do. But they forget about the basic stuff. That's, you know, put yourself into when you grow up an island. You know, if you grow up an island and move here, what is my question? And what is the biggest difference between when you brought up an island compared to here? You know, yes, there is a lot of food here, but the activities, it's way less than what you used to do on the island. So we eat a lot more than what we used to be an island, and the food that we eat here, most of them are processed food. You know, it's just changing that mindset and stuff to the lifestyle, you know, in the island compared to here. It's much different. So to find a program that you can stay with it for long term, you have to really change that mindset instead of short term into a long term routine. You know, it's not something, health is, you know, your fitness and your health is not something that you can do 6 weeks and then have a break for 2 weeks and go back on again. Because that 2 weeks is always going to do more damage than the 6 weeks that you've done. So instead of looking at, I need to lose 5 kilos or 10 kilos in 6 weeks, looking at the long term, how, you know, losing is easy, but maintaining is the hardest part. What are you doing next after that? It's where people fail to do.
Fixing the mindset before tackling it, and I guess going in well equipped. in that sense of it's not a short-term thing. If you really want it, you got to, I guess, set it out. Paul, before we close down today, could I just ask for the best contact details to get a hold of you for your services and to be able to attend the boot camps and personal training services that you offer?
Get your pens ready, listeners. Note this number down.
I guess everybody's on the Facebook. Mm. And, you know, if you can go onto a Better Lifestyle, you know, if you can go on the Facebook and type Better Lifestyle Fitness, and then we'll give you, just go onto the Better Lifestyle. So it's not, it's BETTA. It's Better. Better Lifestyle.
Mm. Very
sort
nice.
Sort of like fob spelling stuff.
It's an island twister.
Yeah. Island style. Very
and then
nice.
The contact phone number is 021-651-071.
Okay, just for our listeners out there, guys, our contact, our email address is info@betterlifestyle.co.nz. And you can call on either 021-651-071. Or 09217-1071. And I'll just pass it over to our peer producer today. And thank you so much, Paul, Nicole, for your guys' time.
Oh, thank you so much, both of you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, beautiful, wonderful listeners out there, thank you so much for tuning in this afternoon. Just first of all, like to do a quick shout-out to Lady Dora's Fruit and Veggies. For their beautiful service out there. Also to Maepo and Matafeo's accounting firm in Otahu. You guys are doing an amazing job. And, of course, our beautiful airport staff, all Air New Zealand and everyone who's tuning in this afternoon, thank you all for listening in. We're also live streaming on my Facebook page right now, so thank you for our beautiful viewers. Before we close, I would like to invite our guests. Of course, you know, we opened up with the prayer. We're here just to close us off with the prayer. So God is with us from the beginning and at the end and throughout the rest of our day.
Fafta Yesu, the Olofa Manawanga Lake, Fatanuina Manamanuia, Foyle, Famoile, and E, Tulao Yasu. Fafta Yosu Swani, my day, Yate Mato, Fatanuina, Foyanga Wenga, Le Tuan Mato Tama, Mato Talo Lofia, or Foyne, Mato Se, Tala Foywa. For the CLNA too loud as yellow famanga loy manto on your own Malayanga, Taloilo Fio, Fatasia, Lo, Fapeona, Fangalwenga, the Nate too loud as for Foysia, Lanto Walla, Lato Malosi, Lato Wine, Atausia for Lato Wine, Nawale, Le Talaina, old Fingalo Loli, Le Ton Manto Tama, Lenali Talo Malolinga, Latlo Sofa Yesu. Amen.
Rotonga Tahiti Nauru and Fiji. Only you can save. We cry for peace in the South Pacific.